Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Jacob, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion. At the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas, today is December 22, 2016. On the Seabed 24, 2020, we will start our first service today with a song entitled, I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go. It may not be on the mountain height, nor over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle front, where Yah have need of me. But if by still a small voice he calls to paths that I do not know, I'll answer to Yah with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, on a mountain or a plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today their loving words was Joshua would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should see. O Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though rugged and dark the way, my voice shall echo thy message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, over the mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lonely place in earth's harvest field so wide. And I may labor through life's short day. For Joshua the crucified, oh, trusting now to thy tender care, and knowing thou lovest me, I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Yah, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Yah. I'll be what you want me to be. A rod that speaks calls for reformation and creates great controversy. This is the name of our study today. Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 27. We're going to... this is by Viti Holliff, about 1947. Opening prayer thought... taken from the Mount of Blessings, page 184, not until you feel that you could sacrifice your own self-dignity and even lay down your life in order to save an erring brother, have you cast the beam out of your own eye, so that you are prepared to help your brother. Then you, can approach him and touch his heart. No one has ever been reclaimed from a wrong position by censure and reproach. But many have thus been driven from Yeshua and led to shield their hearts against conviction. A tender spirit, a gentle winning deportment, may save the erring and hide a multitude of sin. The revelation of Yeshua in your own character will have a transforming power upon all with whom you come in contact. That Yeshua be daily made manifest in you, and he will reveal through you the creative energy of his word. A gentle, persuasive, yet mighty influence to recreate other souls in the beauty of the Yeshua, our Savior. According to the inspiration eyesight, none of us is qualified to find fault with anyone. Did you know what we read? That only when we come to the point that we are willing to lay down our lives for an erring brother shall we be fitted and able to help others to correct their faults. In the light of this, what is our need? Brother, sister, should we not pray for an experience that Yahshua be manifested in us? Pray for an experience that will prepare us to help others instead of hindering them. Pray to have a gentle, persuasive, mighty truth influence on them. Then shall we be able to wisely approach the erring ones, touch their hearts, and show them their faults. Only then will they listen to us, but certainly not until then. That's the end of the prayer thought there. The rod that speaks calls for reformation. Let's back up and read a little bit from Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 26, where we left off from our last study. And let's bring it up today and then go into the study of the rod that speaks calls for reformation. It says in Micah 5:7, "And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as they do from the Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, and nor waiteth for the sons of men." After the judgment in the house of Yahweh takes place, and that's already taken place, believe it or not, at the Kermit, Texas, 2002, that judgment took place for a whole year, from Passover to Passover. From 2002-2003, at the headwaters for the Adventist Church, that was Gilead Center, the last feeding pasture, the last step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventists during the Judgment of the Dead period, closing out the sixth seal, closing out the 11th parabolic hour at Kermit, Texas, for the Adventists. Okay. So it says, after the judgment in the house of Yahweh takes place, then it is that the remnant, those that are left, are to finish the work of the gospel. Okay, it says, those who have trusted unto intellect, genius, or talent will not then stand at the head of rank and file. They did not keep pace with the lot. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. Yahweh has faithful servants who in the shaking, testing time will be disclosed unto you. Testimony, Volume 8, page 80, by Ellen G. White. Then it is that they, the remnant of Jacob, are to be gathered into their homeland, after which they are sent as missionaries unto the Gentiles, They have not heard of the Yahweh's name and of his fame. Thus it is that those who escape alive from the judgment of the Yahweh, the remnant, shall be as dew from the Yahweh as showers upon the grass. They shall wait for none in their missionary work. They shall bring all their brethren out of all the nations for an offering unto the Yahweh. Isaiah 66:15-20. Micah 5:8. And the remnant of Jacob will be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. While people, or Yahweh's people, are as dew, and as showers to the righteous, Micah 5:7, they are unto the wicked as lions among beasts and flocks of sheep. In other words, their gospel will save the penitent but destroy the impenitent. Micah 5:9-14. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcraft out of thine hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thy hands, and I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. These verses can mean only one thing, and that is that Yahweh will thoroughly purge his floor. He will take the fan in his hand and blow out the chaff. He will destroy the sinners that are among his people. And then purifying his church, he will create a clean people, a united and zeal-filled ministry. For thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, he declares. With the voice together shall they sing. But they shall see eye to eye when the Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:8. Micah 5:15. And I will execute vengeance and anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of the Yahweh? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the unrighteous and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:17-18. That we miss no part of the lesson in this study, let us recapitulate the main points. To begin with, a group of people, good and bad, commingled, are brought to view. They, as we have seen, constitute the church that is approaching the time of the harvest, in which the wicked are to be severed from among the just, Matthew 13:49. While the Yahweh with a message of warnings and reproofs makes a siege against his people, the adversaries gather together in groups, troops, to oppose. Then they are to be cut off. For the horses' leaders shall be cut off, discharged, and the chariots' gathering places destroyed. Yahweh's people are to be thoroughly purged of sin and sinners, and only the penitent are to be left. They are the remnant of Jacob, who shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. They are to be gathered into their homeland, from thence to go as missionaries unto the Gentiles. Unto the penitent they are to be as a dew and as showers, but to the impenitent as lions among beasts and flocks. So the stir caused by the truth seeds of the church and its adversaries warned against it, that is already beginning to arrest the attention of the world, is to result in the cleansing of the church temple, Malachi 3:1-3. Thus is the Yahweh to finish his work on earth, gather his people, destroy the sinners and the heathen alike. Necessarily, the days of the purification of the congregation of the Israel are hastening on apace, for the Elohim will have a people pure and true. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 80. Okay, that brings us to the end of number 26, Tonic Reading, Volume 1, and that was entitled A Worldwide Stir and Its Results, and we were dealing with the fifth chapter of Micah on that. Okay, now, let us go to number 27, Tonic Reading, Volume 1, A Rod That Speaks Calls for the Reformation. Okay. Now, it says that we start with Micah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Hear ye now what the Yahshua saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains. Yahweh's controversy, that's the Father, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Yahweh hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. First to be noted is the fact that the messenger of the Yahweh is instructed to contend before the mountains, and that the hills are to hear his voice. Obviously, then, in this scripture, as elsewhere in the Bible, mountains and hills must be figurative of kingdoms and governments. He is to contend before the mountains, not against them. That is, he is to proclaim that the Yahweh has a controversy with his people, that he is asking for a thorough reformation among them, and that they are not willing and cooperating. It was seen in previous studies that the prophecy of Micah 4 and 5 are to be fulfilled in the latter days, our time, in a time of inspiration by the revelation of these prophecies, calls for a reformation among Yahweh's people. The prophecies now being unsealed for the first time since they were written, and the reformation already on foot, the fact that instead of gladly accepting the freshly revealed message, they are creating a controversy throughout the Adventist churches, very obviously indicates that now is the time to contend before the mountain. Now is the time for them, the mountains, to hear the Yahweh's controversy with his people. The words, arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice, imply that hitherto for his voice has been heard only locally, but that now he must meet the situation, even though the mountains, hills, and the strong foundations of the earth hear that the Yahweh is having a controversy with his people. Until now we have been merely trifling with the Yahweh's adversaries, but now we must get down to business regardless who hears it. His people must now forever turn from man's sins, whatever they be, and confine their faith and hope in thus saith Yahweh, regardless through whom he says it, or else they lose out. As followers of Yahweh, we should hearken to his heart-rending plea for the revival and reformation. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it, a great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human beings as we, wanting to know why they are against him. Micah 6:4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servant. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Yahweh is speaking unto us who are the descendants of the prophets, of the apostle, and of the disciples who through the years of the servitude among the Gentile nations have lost our national identity. Though we may not call ourselves Israelites, Jacobites, or Jews, Elohim does so call us, and always faithful few throughout the ages were willing and even glad for the sake of the truth and righteousness to face the reproach of their blind and unfaithful brethren. Ought we not to be just as glad to do as much? They won the race and the crown, and there is no reason why we should not. Indeed, we cannot afford to lose our reward at this late hour. Micah 6:3. O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it. A great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human beings as we, wanting to know why they are against him. Micah 6:4. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Elohim is speaking unto us, who are the descendants of the prophets, of the apostles, and of the disciples who through the years of the servitude among the Gentile nations have lost our national identity. Though we may not call ourselves Israelites, Jacobites, or Jews, Yahweh does so call us. Yahweh's faithful few throughout the ages were willing and even glad for the sake of the truth and righteousness to face the reproach of their blind and unfaithful brethren. Ought we not to be just as glad to do as much? For they won the race and the crown, and there is no reason why we should not. Indeed, we cannot afford to lose our reward at this late hour. Micah 6:5. O my people, remember now that Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and went Balaam the son of Beor answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yahweh. Here we are told that to know the righteousness of the Yahweh is to remember Yahweh is dealing with our forefathers, for his love toward us is not less than it was toward them. He reminds us of the incident when Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, and how he caused Balaam to speak for him and to bless his people, that for their sake he brought the king's aim to naught and caused Balaam to proclaim to Balak, and now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee, and what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemy, and Israel shall do valiantly. Numbers 24:14, 17:18. In effect, Balaam said unto the king of Moab, I have tried my best to obtain your favor and to curse Israel, but Elohim has prevailed. Israel has won. You and I have lost. And further, let me tell you what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. He that is to rule Israel shall smite Moab on all sides, and Israel shall do valiantly. This is Balaam Thus was Balaam impelled to predict Yahshua's birth and his ruling, causing Israel to do valiantly against Moab and his neighboring peoples in the latter days. To know all this is to know the Yahweh our righteousness, that if he is for us, then no one can win a thing against it, that the battle is the Yahweh's, that we have no need to fear our enemy, that whatever we do shall prosper regardless who is for or against it. Micah 6:6-7. Wherewith shall I come before the Yahweh and bow myself before the High Yahweh? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with the calves of a year old? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? From these verses, it is apparent that the unfoldment of these scriptures bring a revival and reformation among Elohim's people such as the world has never seen. Those who receive the truth in its fullness humbly confess that they are sinners and that they wish to know the worst of their case. They gladly sacrifice anything and everything. Unto them no sacrifice is too great that would bring them closer to the Yahweh, as soon as their pride of opinion leaves them, as soon as they humbly inquire how to come and bow before the Yahweh, just as soon the answer comes unto them. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Yahweh require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Elohim is the greatest gift one can bring to the Yahweh. In order to learn how to do justly, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly, we are emphatically told, Micah 6:9, it says, Yahweh's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. Yahweh declares that his voice is crying unto the city, to the church, and that the men of wisdom shall see the name, and shall hear the rod and him who hath appointed it. Manifestly, this rod is capable of speaking and of being heard. Thus the command, hear ye the rod. So far as we know, the only rod that has ever spoken is a shepherd's rod. Moreover, it was not the result of any studious searching of the Bible that the book was so named, for the author was not familiar with this scripture, nor did he have any understanding of the book of Micah. At the time, the title Shepherd's Rod was given unto the book. I, for one, cannot overlook, neglect, or reject the Yahshua's counsel in this matter. I must hear the rod and him who hath appointed it if I expect to have a home in his kingdom. I cannot afford to do otherwise. Elohim helping me, for he he himself declares that if I would know how to come before him, what offering is acceptable to him, how to do justice, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly before him, I must hear the rod that crieth unto the city. Now it is up to all of us individually to decide whether we should hear the voice of man or the voice of Yahweh's rod. This is now everyone's test, and it must be everyone's concern. For one of these two voices, the voice of men or the voice of Yahweh's rod, will determine everyone's destiny, either for eternal death or for eternal life. Since this message announces that the great and dreadful day of Yahweh is at hand, that the judgment for the living is about to begin, and since Isaiah the prophet was given a vision of the Yahshua moving into his temple for this judicial work, the prophet's experiences while he was yet in vision must therefore represent the experience of Elohim's servants who are to announce the day of the Yahweh. His experience and commission must be our experience and commission. Also, I heard the voice of Yahweh saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then said I, "Yahweh, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Yahweh have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land," Isaiah 6:8-10. "Sanctify the Yahshua of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense unto both the house of Israel, for a gin, and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken." Isaiah 8:13-15. Micah 6:10-11. "Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant a measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of the deceitful weights?" Here is definitely implied that these abominable things, treasures gained by the scanty measures, are yet in the house of Yahweh. For the aim of dishonestly getting rich quick at the cost of another sweat is here condemned. All these abominations prompted by the selfishness must be put away by all who want to survive the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. For the Yahweh's latter question, "Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful waste?" denotes that some are still hanging to their deceitful ways and mistakenly expect to be counted among the pure. There are two types of thieves. Thief number one is the person who outright steals. Thief number two is the person who is in a deal manages to get a little more than what is really his own. He cares not if in the deal the other fellow makes little or nothing. All he cares about is that he himself fares well. This sort of thievery is the worst because it is practiced even by so-called best of the Christian. Micah 6:12. "For the rich men thereof are full of the violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth." It says, "The acts of violence, lying, and stealing," declares inspiration, "are among Elohim's people." Micah 6:13. "Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. For the time has come, brother, sister, to forget self and to be honest with all men, to realize that self is, as it were, the body of a dead man tied to one's back, there to sap one's strength and to put him sick in bed. To such greedy, selfish folk, Yahshua declares, Micah 6:14-15, "Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine." Micah 6:16. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the work of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsel, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. Rather than walk in the counsel of Yahweh's rod, the wicked walk in the counsel of the wicked. And how wicked are their counselors? Inspiration declares that they are as wicked as were those of the house of Omri and Ahab. I'll read 1 Kings 16:25, 26, 29, 30, 33. Consequently, their fate will be the fate of the house of Ahab. Okay, it says, that's in 2 Kings 10:10-11. Surely Micah 6 leaves no doubt whatsoever that the time has fully come for Yahweh's people to get down to business as never before, for the message with which we have been entrusted, inspiration commands, should be scattered as the leaves of autumn. Testimony, Volume 9, page 231. And here are the leaves. Okay. That's the end of Timely Greetings, number 27, Volume 1. And we, our next study goes into On the Threshold of a New World and the Side of the Old. This is Time to Read in Volume 1, number 28. On the threshold of a new world and the side of the old. Okay, let's go. Now, this study is going to be taken from the 7th chapter of Micah. This chapter brings us to our attention three divisions of time in which three different conditions obtain on the earth. The first condition is recorded in the first four verses, the second in verses 5 to 14, and the third on verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. Micah 7:1, Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer's fruit, as the grapes gleaning of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat, my soul desired the first ripe fruit. Something is lacking unto a vintage after its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by reading Micah 7:2-6. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as the briar, the most upright is sharper than a thorn edge. Hedge, the day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the righteous have been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone are left in it. This condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruit and left in a state of loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. For this sifting takes place in the day Elohim visits his watchman. That is, in the judgment day, the day he separates the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:30. The good fish from the bad fish, Matthew 13:47-48. The sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46. Micah 7:7-10. Therefore I will look unto the Yahweh. I will wait for the Elohim of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, Yahweh shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yahweh because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, Where is the Yahweh thy Elohim?
mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. These verses present Elohim's faithful people, the people under whom these prophecies have been unfolded, as having an enemy that bears the feminine designation she. This she questions and doubts Yahweh's presence among his people. She mocks them for their faith. Since these prophecies are now, for the first time, brought to the light, they constitute the message of the hour, and since upon us has been placed the burden of the carrying of the message unto the church, and since she is our enemy, as was the Jewish church to the Christian, in other words, to the Apostolic Nazarene Creed of the followers of Yeshua, the disciples and the apostles, inspiration thus bears witness against her and pronounces her doom. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness and all kings their glory, and they as a people shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name, Isaiah 62:2. Micah 7:11-12. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria and from the fortified cities and from the fortress, even unto the river and from the sea to sea and from mountain to mountain. Since this decree is removed in the day the kingdom, the church purified is restored in the day the saints are fortified, the decree has no effect on them. In that day it declares inspiration. There shall be a great gathering from Assyria and from the fortified city, even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. This message, therefore, is the one that precedes the harvest of the earth, the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, the judgment for the living, the day in which all things are to be restored. Mark 9:12. Micah 7:13-14. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. Before these promises are fulfilled, though, inspiration declared the land was to be desolate. The dispersion of the people would first take place. This rod of Yahweh not only speaks, but it feeds too. And what can it be if not meat in due season? If not the message of the hour, for the people explains the scriptures are those who dwell solitarily in the woods in the midst of Carmel. Prophecy for this day and hour recommends the message of which the rod contains and which Carmel puts out none other. Micah 7:15. According to the pace of thy coming, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt. Will I show unto thee a marvelous thing. We are given the promise that the saints' experience is to be similar unto that of the Exodus movement, that is, just as they were led out of Egypt by the mighty hand of Yahweh and were brought safely into the promised land, so shall it be now. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Patros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an instance for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth, Isaiah 11:11-12. Micah 7:16-18, for the nation shall see and be confounded, that all their might they shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, they shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth, they shall be afraid of Yahweh Elohim, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a Yahweh like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Isaiah 11:13-15. As great as shall be the day of the Yahweh for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Our Elohim is wonderful indeed. He retains not his anger. He delights in mercy. He remembers not the sins of the penitent. He casts them away where they cannot be found any more. Micah 7:20. Thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob, and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Inspiration reaffirms all of Elohim's promises. They never fail. His prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world and the side of the old. Soon there shall be sin no more. Therefore are they before the throne of Yahweh, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of the waters, and Elohim shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says the Yahweh, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahweh, keep not silence, and give him no rest till he establish until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For the Yahweh has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for that which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yahweh, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare you the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stone, lift up the standard for the people. Behold, the Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion. This would be the house of David, Mount Zion, in the 12th hour, at the 12th hour as well. That's what we are called, the house of David. Behold, the house of the mountain of the house of Yahweh, that's what this is, Micah 4:2 and Isaiah 2:1-2. Because thy salvation cometh, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahweh, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 62:6-12. They said, we are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the side of the old. Let our works and faith now answer the Yahweh's most astounding question since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yeshua whom you seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yeshua of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like full of soap. And he shall sit as refiner and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh, as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me. Thus saith the Yahshua of hosts, for I am the Yahweh, I change not. Therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:1-6. In the tiny reading, volume 1, number 28, we're going to go right on into number 29 now. It says, a trodden down kingdom rising to prominence and peace. Seven women take hold of one man. Okay, it says that, we are now to study the book of Isaiah, beginning with the first chapter and continuing on into the second chapter. First part of the chapter 1, you well know, deals with the sins of ancient Israel, while the latter part of the chapter, along with the second chapter, deals with the reestablishment of the kingdom in the latter days. Specifically, it is this latter subject that we are to study today. For the prophet Isaiah being introduced to the record what was to befall the people of Yahweh in the early days as well as in the latter days of their history, quickly unfolds the fact that the Yahshua at the same time had in mind not only his people in the ancient time but also his people in our time. The same dual view practice on the subject you will detect throughout the Bible. In this connection, we should raise the question, is our record as a people better or worse than that of the Jews? This can be readily settled by reading Testimonies, Volume 3, page 252-253. We shall read right now. For the message of the Congregation of the Laodicean, Seventh-day Adventist, is a startling denunciation and is applicable unto the people of the Yahweh at the present time. And unto the angel, now we're able to identify this angel today, his name is Vertus W. Johnson, of the Church of the Laodiceans, meaning the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with its headquarters at Kermit, Texas, 2002-2003, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. This is Yahshua talking now. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and born blind and naked. For the Yahshua here shows us that the message to be borne unto his people by the ministers whom he has called to warn the people is not a peace and safety message. It is not merely theoretical, but practical in every particular. For the people of Yahweh are represented in the message unto the Laodiceans as in a position of eternal security. They are at ease, believing themselves to be in an exalted condition of the spiritual attainment, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What greater deception can come upon the human minds than the confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness finds for the people of Yahweh in a sad deception. Yet honest in that deception, they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of the Father, while those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in the exalted spiritual condition. For the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. The testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I was shown that many are flattering themselves that they are good Christians, who have not a ray of light from the Yahshua. They have not a living experience for themselves in the divine life. They need a deep and thorough work of the self-abasement before the Yahweh, before they will feel their true need of the earnest, persevering effort for the securing of the precious graces of the Spirit. Testimonies, Volume 3, 252-253, by the Ellen G. White. I need to not read more inspiration. Plainly states that today there is to be a message born unto the people of Yahweh. That message is to be born not by the ordinary man, but by ministers called especially for that purpose, and that is not a message of peace and safety as the ministry in the general would naturally have it, for the author endeavors to impress us with the fact that the people of Yahweh are deceived in imagining that they are in an excellent condition. Yes, Yahweh's people at this time are every bit as deceived as were the Jews in the days of Yahshua's first advent. In fact, they are perhaps even worse, for they have had the types and the examples of the past as well as added light shining on their pathway, which the ancients did not have. For the prophet Isaiah had sad news for Elohim's people in his day. He told them that if they continued in their erroneous ways, all of them, good and bad alike, would be dispersed and assimilated by the nation. But for the faithful of the day, he has good news. Isaiah 1:24-26. Therefore, thus saith the Savior, the Yeshua of the host of the 144,000. I'm going to add that. That's the host. As the mighty one of Israel. I will cease me of mine adversaries. I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin, and I will restore the judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. This has a twofold application, even as we speak to our government today with Donald Trump setting up this here new government for this great United States of the America that we now live in today. So I'm going to read that Isaiah 1:24-26 again. Therefore saith the Yahshua, the Savior, that's the Messiah, the Yahshua of the host of the 144,000, for the mighty, as the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries, and avenge me of mine enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, Isaiah was speaking for Yahshua before the cross. But Yahshua had to come and live and die and resurrect from the cross in order to carry out his intentions of easing himself of his adversaries and punishing them and taking them away. He had to go through the grave, he had to resurrect, and then he had to come forth triumphant and given all power in heaven and earth. He was able then to lay down the prophecy, the prophecies were already laid down for him to carry out and fulfill these prophecies in our day of doing what he prophesied before the cross. He is to fulfill and carry them out after the cross. This brings to close my study. This is our contact at the 11th hour call, and it's number 11. Click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song. This brings to our studies. Our contact is the 11th hour call, and if number 11, click on our audio archive. I'm going to close the service now with a song that I've written entitled, "I Guess She Rose in Sandal Feet." I have reason to believe touched the ground, his hand opened, for the Johnny was simply from the manger to the cross. To the golden sheep, to a place, the land where someday we all shall be. The author of the story, Dusty Rose, his hand opened. I have reason to believe in that God of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast the demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that God of Galilee. Dusty Rose for his companion, desert places, is a boat. Jones.